Welcome back to the Underlake Podcast, the Clever Choice Podcast. And with me, as always, is the GM of Clever Choice, Michael Roberts. How are you, mate?
Mate, feeling a little bit burnt today. Got down the beach on the weekend and did a full day of patrolling.
I saw you harassing people on the beach.
Yeah, I'm getting good at that now.
Yeah.
So we met a couple of our members on Patrol 6 and had a really good day down there. It was actually busier than I expected. So the morning was good. Finished about 1. Clouds started coming over, so it was perfect time to head home and put the feet up and have a power nap.
Why not? Put the feet up and have a power nap. Look, Rodman's come off the bench again. This is like your third week in a row. People are getting a bit tired of hearing your voice. Mr. Greg Harvey, how are you?
Good, thank you. I don't have to be the main guy today. We've got a main guy today, so I can just hang out.
Absolutely. You're just one of the crew.
Just one of the crew.
We're with one of your clients and customers, though, aren't we?
We are.
You want to introduce him or you want me to do that?
Super Matt.
There we go. Another one.
Another Super Matt.
Yes.
So joining us today, we've got Matthew Lugo from Anderson's Cooperoo and Cannon Hill, the director of both. Here to tell us a little bit about his business, his staff, and what they're all about.
Mate, it's pretty cool. We've also got, don't forget, Danny.
Oh,
Danny sitting off the side.
We've got Danny sitting on the bench.
He's on the bench.
At the moment, ready to go. Yeah.
He's just about to warm up. The trainer's about to walk over and say, mate, do a run. You'll be on in 17 minutes.
We had to have a superstar sportsman at some point other than Sally Pearson. So we've got Dan here to talk about all of his greatness at sporting of all sorts.
He seems humble.
Yeah, very humble. He's keen to talk about it all, though, I think.
Mate, it's pretty cool. Thanks for having us here, Matt. And we're in the new event space down underneath the store. Thanks for having us here, mate. New space down here at Cooperoo. Yep. Tell us a little bit about what you're trying to do. You've obviously got the retail shop up top.
Yep.
You've got a nice set of offices out the back. Mm-hmm. And we come down the ramp, which is, I think, made specially for Greg. So you can just roll him down.
Exactly.
What's going to happen down here, mate?
So it's going to be an event center. So we're going to do a lot of educational presentations, meetings with interior designers, builders, just put ourselves out there and introduce us as a team and what we can do.
It's a good space, there's no doubt. And I think it's one of these things where I guess you've got to find a point of difference, right?
Yeah.
So I think that if you've got somewhere where you can present your case, mm-hmm. essentially to people, a designated space rather than on the shop front where you might have customers and, you know, you've got an area where any time of the day you can book people in and I guess meet with them and get them across the line, eh?
Yep, that's the plan. You know, we enjoy putting ourselves out there and showing what we can do.
Yeah. Okay, so, mate, why don't we start, your director of the two stores.
Yep.
Tell us a little bit about what got you into it and then it's more than just your business. I think you might have some people that look strikingly similar to you working in the store with you.
Yeah, so my brothers do. Well, one of my brothers is a salesperson here at Cooperoo, and then one of my other brothers actually installs for us. So it's cool to have the family around.
Yeah. How long you had the store for, mate?
Just ticked over a year, so on the 11th of April was a year.
Have you always been in flooring?
Yeah, straight out of school. I was an installer. I actually installed timber, laminate, hybrid, everything like that.
Yeah. So we have a fair few family stores on the podcast. Mm-hmm. How do you enjoy working with your family? Working, pleasure, it's a lot of time together?
No, like it's fine in that aspect. Obviously, having your little brother work for you, it can be tricky sometimes. But no, he does really, really well. So, yeah, it's
What's the age difference, mate?
He is 22. I'm 27.
Okay, 5 years. That's enough to sort of give him. Normally, the older brother could beat up on the little brother. Is that the case here?
Depends who you ask.
No, okay. Well, I'm sure we'll get to that a little bit later in the podcast. So, you straight out of school, what took you into the industry?
So, I played for a football team called Brisbane City. And someone who was on the board there asked me if I wanted to help out for the day. I didn't really know what I was in for and came there and it was installing floors. I stuck to it for, you know, sort of 7 years and then went on to this side of the field.
Yeah. Do you prefer installing or do you prefer?
on your body, it's hard installing.
Yeah.
I did really enjoy it. Coming to people's houses before there's any renovations or anything done. And then being able to leave and see the complete difference of what you can do with a brand new floor was great. But my body was not dealing with it very well.
Do you find that installation, like starting off as an installer and getting out and sort of understanding the whole concept of how the floors lay, actually helps now with the sales and obviously the advice that you give your clients?
Yeah, it does. It also helps with my relationship with installers as well, which is, you know, the main thing. The main thing when it comes to having this business. If you have a good relationship with your installers, they're more likely to help you out when things do go wrong, because things do go wrong.
And they're an important. We talk a lot about the installers on the underlay. Mm-hmm. They're a major part of our business. You know, you can run the sales side, you can get all the clients in, and you mm-hmm. can show all the products. But ultimately, it's the installers that leave the lasting impression on your clients. So I guess there's them doing the work, but then there's that relationship side, because it doesn't always run smoothly, right?
Exactly right. Things are going to go wrong, especially in this industry. More likely to go wrong than to go right. So, you know, having that good relationship with the installers is I think, key to a successful business in this industry.
And you've still got one of your brothers out installing as well, right?
Yeah. So he's 18. So he only just started, 2 months ago or something like that. He's enjoying it, you know, from what we hear back from the installers that he works with. He's, you know, really good attention to detail and works really hard. So, you know, it makes you a little bit proud having your little brother work there as well and hearing really good things about him.
Yeah, amazing. And you've got two stores.
Yeah.
And that must keep you busy.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Do you flit in between both, or do you find you have a home base here, or do you spend more time there?
It really depends of what week, what day. Yeah.
Yeah.
Most of the time I'll start at Cannon Hill every day. And then whatever needs to be done, I'll come to Cooperoo. You know, I've got a business partner, Norman, as well. So we meet a lot and talk through what we're going to do in the future. So I am here a lot, but yeah, I always start off at Cannon Hill.
So tell us a little bit more about your team, like to run two stores, to have multiple jobs going out, your installation side of the business. Mm-hmm. Obviously you'd have a warehouse somewhere.
Yeah, so our warehouse is connected to our Cannon Hill store. Previously, we had an off-site warehouse. I think bringing that warehouse to where the retail store is has helped us a lot in terms of our management of stock and everything like that. We find we have a lot less problems now that we're controlling everything and we can see it from day to day. So that's been good.
Well, that definitely benefit the end client, wouldn't it? Like having a lot more control, being you know, on time and
yeah. Well, that's it. And if someone wants to, let's just say if we've got a customer who wants to pick up something that we have in our warehouse, you know, they can come anytime, Monday to Friday, and come pick it up. So, yeah, it helps
out
a lot.
Well, Michael, from a clever perspective, that was the big game changer for you guys, was the extra warehouse at Yatala. Being able to touch, see and feel it, know what's on the floor, know what you've got, makes a huge difference being able to know what to sell. Because you can push stuff that you know you've got, you got extra stock in, you know, you've got all this, you've got so much more power by being able to, by having stuff on site, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a game changer for us as well.
Yeah.
You know? We would have at least once, twice a week installers calling me at 6 a.m. saying, hey, where's this? When it was there, but we just couldn't find it because we didn't know exactly where it was. Now that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah, having the stock on site, on hand, being able to visualize and actually see it.
Yeah.
It's definitely been a game changer for us now, having the three warehouses. Mm-hmm. You know, the other thing too was only having remote warehouses for us. You know, then we had to ship it interstate and all that. So, you know, again, having that on site definitely helped grow our business.
Greg.
Yes.
So you obviously have built a relationship with Matt and the team here at Cooperoo and also at Cannon Hill.
Yep.
Tell us a little bit about what your role is and how you work with them and how you've built that relationship. Because it's, you know, Matt's only a young fella. Like he's got, you and him have got so many parallels, you know, being installers, moving into another side of the business. So that must make it, you must have plenty to talk about when you catch up.
Yeah, I think that's probably one of the things that has helped me and Matt connect as well as what we have, just at our very similar backgrounds in how we got into it, sort of how we want to move forward and what we're looking to bring in as well. It also helps he's got a young team around him, I think, who haven't had the experience of being in it forever and things like that. They don't come with you get some people get stale within the industry, I find, whereas he's got a young, enthusiastic team, which have all got goals and things that they want to hit as well. So they don't seem like guys that are going to just sit back and do nothing as well. I enjoy working with people and supporting people who want to be better and who want to do the best that they can. And I find his team's really enthusiastic, and the way they go about their business for me is pretty much exactly how I want to go about mine as well. So the good part is if they don't know something, they reach out. They don't sit back and try and pretend to know what they don't know and things like that. And they're always hungry for more information, and they want to give their clients, I guess, the best experience that they can. Like, I'm getting asked daily, do you have laid photos of this? Do you know how quickly we can get stock of this? So they want to represent themselves and their products and their quotes as well as they can, which is exactly how I sort of like to do business as well. So I think not only do me and Matt have parallels, but the way that they're sort of running their quote and servicing their clients matches up with a lot of what we do here at Clever as well.
Can definitely see the synergies from my point of view. Like, you come down, I've been in the store a couple of times now, both your stores, and I really feel the buzz. I feel the energy. It's a big way at Clever that we run our business. You know, we're very passionate about what we do, and, you know, we run on that energy, and nothing's too hard. And like Greg said, you know, your whole team's, you know, reaching out for all the access to our photos, to everything that we've got, you know, product knowledge and all that. So I guess from Clever's point of view, you know, that's what we do well, is have all that stuff on hand.
Absolutely.
But then when we have a team like your team that are reaching out to us and, you know, matching that energy, it actually drives me to be better. You know, and I get inspiration from young, energetic teams like what you guys have got, you know, to come in here. Like, I did a walk around this morning of your shop, and it's just amazing. Like, it's, you know, I was sort of in awe. Sort of, I've been here over the years, and Greg was right. You know, you get certain people within the industry that probably get a little bit tired. And this store, you know, I think when you guys took it over was, you know, I hope I'm not speaking out of school, but it was very tired. And then since you guys have come in, I can just feel the energy, just, you know, especially this room we're in now, you know, to create this event center, and then to get upstairs, you know, and just feel the light and see the range, and, you know, feel that passion that you guys have got.
Yeah, it's a big thing that we try and create a really good culture. You know, we celebrate everything that goes right. You know, we help each other when anything goes wrong. We're really, really tight knit group at both stores. So, yeah, it's been really good with the boys.
I guess you come from a team sport background, right? So you know what it's like to have each other's backs. And you've got Danny at the end there. He's a team sport guy as well. And
we actually play at the same team.
Well, there you go. So it's that thing where it's incredible how important team sport is. In a corporate level, when you find those people that have never, and we're going to talk to you now, Danny, is that when we talk about people that come from team sport and then they come into a professional environment, it's so important to know, because I say this to my son, because my son's 17, turning 18, and I always say to him is that you don't have to love everyone you play with, but you've got to respect everyone you play with, and you've got to work together regardless. And I played team sport for 20 years and played footy at a reasonable level. And there were some guys in my team that, you know, I didn't like at all. I would never be with them after the game. I just thought, you're a bit of a dick. But on the field, I'd jump on a grenade for them.
Yeah.
And I think that's what you find here, is if you get the right people involved and that synergy from team away, team in. Danny, tell us a little bit about what it's like. You're only a young fella. Tell us a bit about your background and why you love flooring.
Yeah, so for me, coming straight out of school, I started doing roofing. So I did my apprenticeship there. I was roofing for 5 years, got fully qualified. And then Matt came along and offered me a job and said, would you be interested in working for me? And I was like, yeah, mate, for sure. And then as soon as I come in, and a few months in it, and I just loved it. Loved selling, loved learning everything, loved learning new things. And yeah, since I've been here, it's just been a great experience. I wouldn't change it at all.
It's interesting because it's, you know, obviously you play footy together. Friends and business sometimes can be tough.
Yeah.
How you, and I won't get to you yet, but I'll get to you first. Because sometimes it's hard when suddenly the guy you're having a bit of fun with on a Thursday night at training and kicking the ball around on a Saturday is now telling you, well, do your shoes up.
Yeah, I think me and Matt have a good relationship in that aspect because I understand when it comes to work that he's my boss and yeah. whatever he says goes. But at the same time as well, that mate comes in, he will always help me when something goes wrong. He's always got my back. So the big thing for me is that I know at work I'll always listen to what he says, always respect what he says. But when we're at footy, I'm the boss. So
I think it's you know it's a really good point though. From like even for me, from an outsider looking in, like I knew Matt briefly beforehand. Like on a not sure what it was up until a certain point, but everything just came together for us. At, like as a team working together. But even for me with his guys, like there is a very like brotherhood, mateship sort of vibe about it as well. Like even for me, like. I'll have these guys reach out in the weekend and we'll have a laugh or and like I'll see them on the beers together outside of work. So not only are they working together, playing sport together, but they hang out with each other outside of work. And when you've got that, and then I see the respect that's within the company, like it's so rare to have, but it's something that works so well here. And I think having the two stores, you're going to have the guys communicate on the same level across two stores. So essentially, rather than having two separate entities, you've just got an extension of the original arm, really,
which absolutely.
I think is going to make it extremely successful for both stores.
It's funny how respect in the workplace and respect out of the workplace can marry. And I know that when I played rugby is that I was very good friend of mine, his brother, he's quite a bit older than us, and he was playing first grade. He played for the Waratahs. He played like he was a good player, like a really good player, but he was a real dickhead. Like he was really arrogant, even to like his brother's best mates. He was a real dickhead, and you'll be able to appreciate this when I get to it. Is that we'd see him at the club, and he'd sort of just brush us, and you know, and then as we started to play better football, we became older, and we were in grade, and we were sort of becoming on his level. He started to accept us a bit more. The minute that I earned his respect is when we played golf, right? And I was a better golfer than him. And suddenly I was better at something that he was doing. So it clicked. So I think that when you talk about that gaining that respect, it can be that, you know, you have a full respect for Matt because he's done this business, he's done all this kind of stuff, and then he's got that respect for you because of what you've done in somewhere else, and it just marries, right? And suddenly you find that sweet spot. I think it's so important to surround yourself with those people that you have that sweet spot.
Yeah, definitely. Like I think before coming in and working for Matt, we had only hung out as mates and all that sort of stuff. So I didn't know what he was going to be like in a business aspect. But then as soon as I came in and saw that he can just make that switch and just turn like that, I was just like, whoa, like this guy's serious. Like he means business. And then that's where my respect came. I was just like, I've got to listen to everything he says and learn as much as I can off him.
Yeah.
You didn't always play together though, did you?
No, I scored a few goals against him in my time.
So a little birdie on Instagram, I might have seen a picture where old Dan set one whizzing past Matt's ear. So,
which one was that?
Oh, there'd be a few on there, I think. You could take your pick. But yeah.
It happened one time. One time.
There's two goals in that game.
Dan's striking, Matt's goalkeeping.
No, it's horrible. Like that photo comes up. There's a photo of me like on the ground screaming and him celebrating. And it just could not have been a worse photo for me, but a better photo for
me. At that point, he realised he needed to sign him as a salesman, get him onto his team at work and in the soccer sense.
Yeah, hobble him.
There we go.
So you've got a good team around you. Mm-hmm. You said you've obviously got Dan, footballer. Yep. But when you know, not just any sort of football, you've played some football, right?
Yeah, yes. Back in the day, yeah.
Don't be modest.
Yeah, so I can give you a background on it.
Go for it. Please, yeah, please do.
Nah, so in high school, I was in with the Brisbane Roar youth team since I was about 15. And then I turned 18, 19, started training with the A-League side, and over two seasons made 14 appearances in the A-League for the first team squad. So,
wow.
Yeah.
How was that?
Scary. Very, very scary. I wasn't the type of guy I am today. Back then, I was a lot more reserved and a bit more nervous and in my shell. And then, so I made a few appearances, didn't really play the best and things didn't go the best. But, you know, you keep moving on and
yeah,
still playing like semi-professional footy now with Matt and just enjoying it, loving it still. So,
yep.
And an absolute gun on the golf course.
Yeah. Well, just before we get to golf, because we're going to get to that in a minute, but it's incredible when you do something your whole life and then you get your shot. And it's some people say it is said that you either got it or you don't have it, right? And I don't think it's as simple as that. I think that it's so situational. Like whether you are ready at the time or whether mentally you're ready. You said if you were the person now that you were then, that you may have approached it differently.
Yeah.
And so I think you don't know that until you've done it. And I think there's a lot of luck, mate.
Yeah, definitely.
There's a lot of luck. Yeah. And so because it's heartbreaking, but to still see, I can still see you talk about it, you love it, it makes you spark. So, and this is what I try to tell, because I've coached a bit of rugby as well, as I try to tell the kids that you don't have to play professional to enjoy footy. You know, you don't have to be playing A-League. You don't have to be playing for Australia. You don't have to be playing for all this to enjoy it. You got to love it.
Yeah.
Right? And that's enough.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Well, I think the year when I left the Raw and then came back, played semi-professional, that year I played my best football I've ever played.
Yeah.
And, it's because I wasn't enjoying it. I took all that pressure and weight off my shoulders. My whole family, even, they would say, they're like, you're just so much better now because you just don't care. You're just playing for fun.
Yeah.
And you're enjoying it. So that's the key.
There's a lot of pressure that comes with it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like the golf course. There's a lot of pressure that comes with it.
No pressure on the golf course. No pressure on the golf course.
Just pumping him up the whole time, right?
Yeah. Well, we've got to pump him up. We'll bring him down.
Yeah, good.
Don't worry, we'll get there. Yeah, I'll switch over to Michael. Michael's the bad cop.
Yeah,
he'll bring him back to work.
We definitely see all the banter around the golf course, and we hear you guys do get out there with Mr. Harvey here and try and hit that little white ball.
Oh, my case, fluoro yellow, so I can see it and find it. I'm not as young as these two, so my eyes aren't as good. So yeah. I need the fluoro balls, not the white ones.
You lost them a few times too, didn't you?
Yeah. How'd you go that day?
Yeah, really good.
Yeah. I can't beat Dan, but I can claim the other one.
It was good to watch.
Golf's an interesting game. It's so you've gone from soccer, which is or football, which is so team oriented, right? And then you go to golf, which is just nothing else matters. You've got to be hyper focused on yourself, and I think that's it's really cool as well. Like I played golf for a long time and trying to start again to play, but it was always the solace. I could go on the golf course and tune out for 4 hours, and nothing mattered. And I think that's the key. Whereas, you know, when you play that team sport, you know, you've got 10 other people yelling at you, right? And so that's what I love about golf is that I'd go to the golf course, wouldn't think about golf. And next thing I'd play reasonably well and go, oh, shit, I didn't even really think about it. And I think that's the key is finding that zone where you're not talking about golf. Talk about anything other than golf. Yeah. That's the best part of it.
Yeah, no, definitely. Definitely. And like I said, it's a game that brings you back down to earth very, 100%. Very quickly.
Yeah.
Very quickly.
100%.
I explained it perfectly to my dad the other day because we're a cricketing family. We all played decent cricket. And I went out to my dad's the other day and he said to me, he goes, are you playing golf? I was like, yeah. And he goes, why would you play golf? I said, well, the good part about golf is, Dad, unlike cricket, you go to cricket, you hit one bad shot, you're done for the day. That's it. You're sitting down. I said, I can go to golf and hit crap shots all day and still get to keep playing. I actually get to play more because I'm playing crap shots.
You'd be Dave Warner.
Dave Warner's good at what he does. I just hit balls into random spots and try and get them out of there. But it's much better than cricket where your day's over if you hit one bad one. So the fact that on golf you get to hit more shots when you hit bad ones, it's good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny though. It's so mental, golf.
Mm. Yeah.
It's like the most mental game.
Yeah.
You know, you have to convince yourself like it's that – don't hit it in the water, don't hit it in the water, don't hit it in the water.
Goes in the water.
Yeah. Right? You've got to pretend the water's not there.
Yeah.
It's all about what you want to happen, not what might happen. So it's all that positive reinforcement. It teaches you a lot about life, right, as well, that, you know, you might do everything right and still get the wrong result.
Yeah.
And that's life in a nutshell, I reckon.
But it's just like business, right? It's where you focus, exactly what you said. If you focus on the water or you focus on not getting the sale or you focus on all the negatives, then that's exactly where the ball's going to go.
Mm.
You focus on that hole and that's where you're aiming and that's where you're thinking and that's where you're putting all your attention, then that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, and we talk a lot about sport on this podcast because, you know, I know we're all big sports fans and ultimately that's how I run my business. So I'd always use the analogy, I'm just the captain, right? At the end of the day, we've got 13 other players out here on the field or 11 in soccer or however many it is. And ultimately, whether you're the striker or you're the goalkeeper or whatever your position is, you're just as important as the next guy. And as the captain, okay, I might be sort of leading the team and sort of, you know, pushing pressure on or, you know, depending on how we're going to play the game. But ultimately, everyone's got to step up, you know, and everyone's got to have that same focus and that same goal. And that's where you see champion teams. And obviously, it's where you see champion businesses as well. People who have got those common goals. And I find, too, the stores I deal with where, you know, there's a lot of synergy you can see with you guys that you are working. And, you know, I put a lot of emphasis on work-life balance. I don't sort of get up and think, oh, I have to go to work. I get up thinking I'm privileged to go to work today or I'm privileged to spend time with my mates. And, you know, I look at all my work colleagues as my mates. And like you said, you know, being able to be the boss, but then also, you know, when you take that hat off and walk out and then have fun with everyone, you know, I'm generally the biggest larrikin. I'm the one that gets us kicked out of casinos. You know, so I've got the rest of the team on weekends sort of, you know, texting me, put your phone down, you've had enough to drink. So, yeah, to have that dynamic where you can switch roles, but as soon as we're back in work zone, then, you know, that's when it's all serious and, you know, and that's when we're sort of striving for that sort of goal.
Oh, look, I'm very lucky. I've got a really good team around me. Like most people, they're excited for the weekends where I don't even know what day it is during the week, honestly. And it's like I don't look forward to the weekend because I have fun every single day with the boys. So, yeah, it's really enjoyable.
That's probably the next thing for me, and it's a question sort of for both is, Dan, you've come in from a different industry originally into the sales side of things, and now you've been sort of put into that manager spot at Cannon Hill. How do you find, how have you found that change for you? Obviously not doing the sales role before, then transitioning into a management role. Is there anything that you found different, or do you enjoy the managing aspect of it more than the sales aspect? And I guess, Matt, for you, what did you see in Dan, or what is it that you like to see in your staff and you sort of promote to help them grow? Because look, that's one thing that I've loved seeing within the industry is I came from a guy that just thought he was going to be installing his whole life to have managed to have some good positions at some really good companies and things like that. So obviously, Dan, how's it been for you to obviously grow into those roles, and how do you, Matt, try and help them grow into these roles and keep your team ever evolving and giving them more opportunities as you go along?
Yeah, no, so at the start when Matt first like told me when he was opening a new store and told me I was going to be the manager of it, I'd only been working for a short period of time in this industry, and it was tough at the start, and I was thinking in my head, I was like, well, shit, how am I going to do this? But like it's pretty good. Like I enjoy the challenge of it. Like I said, I enjoy learning new things, and if there's questions that I get asked that I still don't even know the answers of, but straight away I'll do what I can to get those answers. I'll make a phone call to Matt. Even most of the time I've made phone calls to you as well. I call you probably 3 times a week at least. Three times a day. But like I said, like I'm hungry to learn. I'm hungry to help people out. I like having that responsibility on my shoulders, and it makes me be better, I think.
Well, I think the most important thing you've said there is that you don't have all the answers.
Yeah, definitely.
Right, not many – it takes a – like most people, years to learn that they're not going to have all the answers. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay to not know the answer.
Yeah.
That's fine. Just find it. Find the answer, right? And I think that, you know, our brains are only so big. We've got so much stuff going on. We can't be expected to know everything. So, but knowing that you've got people to call on and knowing those people, I think that's, you're already 10 steps ahead of everyone else, I think, by knowing that.
Don't be afraid to ask for help.
Absolutely.
That's like credit to Danny. Like he, when he does need to find something out, he has set up those relationships with people who he can then call upon to ask those questions. So that was one thing that I did see in Danny, is that he's a very likable person. He's really good at building relationships and things like that, which is, you know, it's a really big thing in this industry, in all industries really. So yeah, that's sort of why we put him in the position that he's in now. And he's just taken it and ran with it. So it's tough opening up a new store and starting from scratch. It's ridiculously hard, but Danny's done really, really well with it.
Mate, you ask any business owner or any manager, staff are the worst thing. They are the hardest thing. And when you find good staff, you hang on to them forever.
Yeah.
Because staff makes or breaks your business. You'd know better than anyone.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. There's periods of our business where probably 80% of my time is consumed by staff management or being their counselor or, you know, having them cry on your shoulder or whatever, you know, because we got 32 people. So you got different people going through their own personal stuff as well as work pressures and all that. So, you know, I think that's also why I enjoy being friends with my team because then you sort of actually get to know who they are. Yeah. So if they're coming in and they're having a bad day, you sort of know their personalities and you know that sometimes it's not work pressure, that it could be just personal things that's going on. And I think getting to know your team and know who they are, also then you can support them. You know, like in a soccer team, you know, for instance, someone's got a bad leg, but you know you want them out there on the field, but you're not going to be passing the ball every 5 minutes. You're going to try and protect them or help them through the game, you know. And I guess as a business, you're doing the same. When one of your guys are down or, you know, someone's just not feeling the best, and you step in. And I think that's a big thing is, you know, having your team. And talking about teams, so I've seen a huge increase in, you know, we talk about obviously you ring Greg and you're getting all that advice, but ultimately we're all here to make money. Yeah. We're all here for sales. Why has it been that over, especially the last 6 months, we've seen a huge increase in business?
So Gregor has helped us a lot with. He's helped us with a lot of information. So there was, I think it was, I don't know, maybe 8 months ago, Greg came in for the first time in a long time. It was probably longer than that, actually, probably about a year ago. He came in, and I said, "Hey, like, can we get a little bit of training done for the boys?" And he said he set everything up straight away, you know, gave a really, really good sort of introductory lesson to all sorts of products that Clever has. And then from there, just the relationship kept building. Obviously, if the boys are all clued up on sort of the products and their benefits and everything like that, they're going to be more inclined to sell it. So Greg has had a lot to do with that and just the relationships that we've built with him.
So product knowledge is very important. Mm-hmm. And obviously being able to reach out to Greg and the team and get that product knowledge has really helped you guys grow.
Yeah. No, it's been the biggest thing that's helped us grow with Clever,
So tell us a little bit about your customers. You know, we find that some stores are either predominantly retail, some stores are predominantly commercial. Yeah. What's the mix of customers that you guys look to attract here?
So we're predominantly residential. That's how we bought the business. Our goal moving forward is to open up to commercial. We've got Costa, who works at the Cooperoo store. He's starting to dive more into the commercial side of things, and he's doing really, really well with it. But we do take a lot of time and care for our retail customers, and I think that's why we have been successful. We get a lot of repeat work, and a lot of people refer us on to their friends, family, everything like that. So, yeah, the boys have done really, really well with you know, customer engagement.
Well, I guess we talk a lot, Michael, about it's a big purchase. Flooring's a big purchase. Yeah. Like, it's not cheap. And it's it can make or break the house. And so being able to take the time and being able to walk them through, show them different options, answer their questions, be able to spend that time, I think that's a really good mindset to have. It's not just about getting them into something and getting them out. It's about building that relationship.
100%. And I think I'm a very strong the way that I sell is I want to go through the whole experience with the customer. And I think the boys have taken that on, and they've sort of taken it in their own way to do that same thing. So they'll sit down with the customer, explain the whole process, you know, from start to finish, what could happen. So floor prep side of things, you know, going through all trims, scotches, skirtings, like everything to make the job a full job, the boys go through it. And credit to them, because they take it and they run with it. They do really well.
It's something that's really impressed me as well, in the sense that I don't get it a lot. But I know through the Cooperoo store, through Costa especially, he understands the situations and the customers quite well. Like only recently I was out on site with him after hours to a nice unit in the city, right in the river. And he understood the gravity of what this guy was after. And like he had myself, the installer, and himself meet the customer on site in their unit to go through expansions, whether you stick it or whether you float it, how you're going to get things up through the lifts in those type of units, where the furniture goes, what aspects they had to think about and what they didn't want to think about. He wanted to make sure that the installer was comfortable with how he was going to put it down, that I was comfortable that the product they were going to select for the area was going to both be aesthetically pleasing as well as do the job that they needed. And then it's not just me meeting him on site. He'll ring me and say, look, I'm about to go to a job where X, Y, Z is going to be the case. Do you mind if I jump on FaceTime with you? I'll send a couple of videos and get your feedback while I'm on site. So, and he had the installer with him at that one as well. A lot of stores just go out and they sort of hope for the best. They send the plan to their installers and you leave a lot to chance at that point. But I think these guys, as Matt said, if you understand your customer and your situation, you're going to get the best result for everyone. And there is those special ones where you've got to pay more attention to it than what you normally would, and understanding that and acting on that is going to go a long way to make sure you've got a successful business, I think.
And I think that's an important fact to mention there, Greg, is that we do go that extra mile, and that, you know, and that's something that here at Clever, you know, going out to site, I'm regularly out on site. You know, when we traveled, we went and met one of our installers on site. I'm out on all my commercial sites really getting to know, and that all our reps here, you know, are willing to get out on site for, you know, obviously we don't want to be going and quoting every single job with you, but those tricky ones for me is a good time for us all to get together from a supplier's point of view, from a salesperson's point of view, and then having the installer there as well. You know, we're all working together because ultimately at the end of the day, we all want it to work, right? Yeah. We want that end customer to be happy. We want them to have the floor that they desire. And sometimes, you know, there is a tricky site, you know, and there's something that people want that's probably not as per the guidelines, but there's always ways of making it work. And sometimes it's a reassessment of how we lay the floor, not necessarily are we going to do it, because the customer wants a floor. You know, and we can make any product work in any situation. There's just different allowances that we need to make. And, you know, that site that you mentioned where you had the installer and Greg and everyone on site, and then Greg's also sort of sent me photos. I was actually meeting with that installer on another site, you know, literally 2 days before.
I think it was the same day.
Morning I was on site. So, again, you can see I'm on certain sites and then we've got installers that are getting around. So, we create this community, you know, amongst ourselves, and ultimately we all win in the end.
Yeah.
Because then we know that we're not just taking risks and we're not just guessing, is that going to work? You know, together we've made sure that we'll go down correctly.
Yeah, well, essentially we're all in partnership with each other to get the end result, aren't we? So,
yeah,
you know, we believe that we're in a partnership with Clever Choice to give the correct product to the customer.
So yeah.
Whether it's your hard floors or your you know, your vinyl planks that Greg's so excited that's coming out.
But it's another good point too. Like as Matt said before, they're growing their commercial division, even their reach of interior designers and things like that. Like bringing in this event space downstairs here, that's so appealing. It's so nice. It's fresh. It's got some nice new flooring down, which we provided to the store to help them with the space. But like I know Dan in particular has been going out and he's been talking to a few interior designers and things like that to try and get them on board with the store. And even just having the relationship where he can ring me and say, look, I've just got this designer on board, really excited to use this and that sort of things. Can you get us some samples ASAP to take out to them? We turned that round within, I think, 24 hours. We had the samples that they needed to take out there. So just having partnerships like that and then, obviously, these guys having the capacity to do that with designers and things like that is a big growth spot as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think even as soon as I showed them your products, they were just like, yep. And then just like they were already buzzing from that. And then straight away you got it out within a day. And then like they were just gobsmacked.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, guys, in your time in the industry, you must have seen some change. Probably not so much you, Danny, but definitely you, Matt. What sort of changes have you seen in the time you've been from an installer all the way through to now? You know, trends and products and like there must have been. And then where do you see it going next? Like, what's the next big thing?
Yeah, so when I first started in flooring, there was no such thing as, well, there was hybrid, but it just had come out. You know, I was laying bamboo sort of three times a week, which now it's very, very rare for anyone to lay bamboo. I think on the sales side of things, the whole industry is changing and has changed. And then so now obviously the industry is going more to your sort of your hybrids, your vinyl planks and things like that. I think on the sales side of things, what we're trying to do is we're trying to sort of come from a different angle. We're trying to, as I said before, sort of go through the whole experience with the customer and sort of give them all the information that they need to sort of make a decision, but also suggesting sort of what's going to be the right use for this product and what areas it's going. So I think previously the industry is very, it has been sort of smelly salesperson previously. And we try not to do that. And I think the whole industry is changing in for the better.
Totally agree. And when you say that you're reaching out to interior designers, architects and things like that, why should they come in here? Like what are they going to get when they come into Anderson's Cooperoo and talk with your team?
I think they're just going to find salespeople or you know people who want to actually help. That's the biggest thing. Like they're very very helpful. They'll you know the service that they provide as well. 24 hours. We had an interior designer. You know, Greg helped us with that. Got us samples. You know, but Danny did get on the phone straight away, push for it, and sort of make it happen. So you know we want to give the correct product for the right job with the right floor prep with everything. So it's a holistic job rather than, you know, sell the product and then the installer goes on site and there's an extra 5,000 that's needed, but there's been no conversation of it at all.
And I guess the advantage here we've seen that, you know, basically we're sitting here right now looking at a beautiful herringbone floor.
Yeah.
I saw the videos of you guys actually installing that. So you can tell that the skill level from your team to be able to do, you know, direct stick timbers, floating floors, vinyl planks, carpets. So you got a vast range of flooring options that you're not just selling vinyl or just selling timbers. And we see that a lot, you know, where we go into stores and they just push the products, you know, or what they want to sort of sell. But what I've seen here is looking around your stores and looking at actually your sales that come through is it's actually hitting nearly every category. You aren't pigeoning just one category.
No, because there's a different use for every floor, isn't there? So if we're suggesting the correct practice for a specific flooring, whether it's hybrid or your vinyl, there's different uses for them. So, you know, we do have installers that can do it all.
Yep.
So it's, you know, we are lucky that way. And the boys are clued up enough to know which products should go where.
We mentioned that last week, Matt, the house picks a floor.
Yeah.
You know, and I find that most of the successful businesses and stores that we deal with, you know, do sell a vast range of products because, like you just said, depending on the environment, depending on the client, depending on the need, you know, talking about commercial, you know, different products are suited for different commercial environments. Yeah. You know, and I find that in the big stuff that I do, you know, you people that are, I guess, buying the house to live in it might spend a bit more money and go a higher end product. But if they're buying a home to rent it out, you know, they're probably going to go something's more durable and easier to replace or easier to repair.
Yeah.
People, you know, want mixtures of carpets and, you know, planks and things like that within their home. So also, you know, just noticing looking around your showroom, like the way you've transitioned through the rooms. You know, it's been, you know, they've got stairs in here. Like you said, they've built a special ramp for Greg to be able to get up and down. So it's actually good to see also the use of all the transitional trims and things like that, because that's also a part that I think some people, they spend all their time doing all the flooring and then get it wrong with the trims.
Well, it's a finishing game, isn't it? So like flooring is a finishing trade. You know, you can do everything correct with the floor prep, with everything like that. But if your scotia's not done correctly, or if your skirting's all off, or you haven't used the right trims, it ruins the job. So I think that's probably one of the most important parts of it.
So you, it's quite obvious just by hearing you talk about Greg in such glowing terms that the relationship between...
I have to pay him.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm sure there's heavy discounts involved. But so your relationship with Clever is a good one. It's one that seems to be built out of trust and and because, you know, if you ask Greg to do something, he invariably does it. We know that Greg's super excited about the new vinyl plank coming, right? Like it's he's amazingly excited. Have you got a favorite Clever product? Have you got one that, that you know is just a go to that you, if someone asks, it's like bang, I'm going to that.
What's yours?
A Hybrid Shield for sure. Hybrid Shield.
Why the Hybrid Shield?
Oh, I just ever since I remember when Matt said before that Greg came in and did that training with us. It was just when you guys first brought that out. And I remember just sitting there listening to all the qualities it has and everything like that. Waterproof, thicker board, durable, and it comes in those herringbone options too. And I was like, that stuff's going to sell itself. I'll put it in my sister's house straight away.
Glowing endorsement there.
There we go.
It looks brilliant. It's one of the nicest videos I've seen for a long time is his sister's place with the Shield herringbone down. Yeah. And it's on the floor upstairs here as well. And these guys have done well. Like you see a lot of people, it's normally a race to the bottom as to which product you sell, whereas these guys understand that the more qualities, features and benefits it's got, the more suited it's going to be to a lot more houses. And that's one thing. They're not pushing the cheap. They're not pushing the entry-level products that I have. They're selling the products that have the better features and benefits. And I know they do a lot of the Oak XL timbers as well because it's longer, it's wider, it gives off a better visual appeal. So they're not shooting for the bottom of the barrel. They're understanding that these higher-end products, they're higher-end products for a reason, but they also bring a lot to their customers as well, which I think is, as Matt said before, he's taught them how to sell and he's encouraging them to sell the right way. You might lose a couple of jobs doing it that way, but you ultimately know that you're trying to put the best quality in people's houses for them.
Well, it is amazing because we talked a few episodes back about hardwood timber flooring, Michael. And when someone would come into a store and they'd want hardwood timber flooring and someone would try and sell them something else.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, if someone's willing to pay for hardwood timber flooring, well, that's the option. If someone's got the budget and they want to spend it, then give them the product that's going to fit what they want. And if it's Hybrid Shield, because it's a little bit more expensive, well, then away you go.
And we're not talking a huge difference in price brackets, right?
Yeah.
And that's what we discussed in that episode was that, you know, from the budget flooring to, you know, your mid-range or higher-end sort of products, it's not a massive difference. Like, we're not talking double. You know, your floor prep, your installation, most of those costs are all basically the same. So you're talking, you know, maybe 10 or 20% more to have, you know, something that may only last, say, 5 years or look good for 5 years, opposed to something that's going to look good for sort of 30 years and actually, more importantly, be the product that they actually wanted.
Yeah.
And, you know, or the product that suits the home or suits the family or, you know, so I think those qualifying questions are so important that it's not just focused on the pricing. And we talk about this a lot, that if you go through the process, qualify the home, qualify the family, you know, they then talk themselves into the product that they actually need, not what a salesman, and you said it, Matt, you know, they don't want to just be sold.
No.
You know, like everyone sees through a salesman, you know, oh, come over here and look at my vinyl plank or, you know, because I love selling it. You know, but ultimately that's not what the home, it's a $3 million home overlooking the ocean.
Yeah.
You know, like why would you? You know, that home deserves to have a timber or, you know, a nice herringbone black butt or something that will actually increase the value and have resale value to the home rather than, you know, a plastic floor.
Yeah. And look, they feel completely different. If someone's after a timber floor, they want that sort of homely timber feeling.
Yeah.
As realistic as it looks, you know, going for your hybrid shield or for your hybrid flooring, it doesn't give the same feeling. So, you know, if they're after a specific feeling, a specific, you know, they want that product, why would you try and push it to something else?
Yeah. And you definitely get that feeling when you walk into the shop here, both your stores actually, that it does have that homely and I guess family feeling.
Yeah.
And ultimately that's what everyone's coming in here for.
That's what we try and do.
Absolutely. So it's onwards and upwards for you two Anderson stores and Clever Choice. Yep. As long as Greg keeps popping in and just playing
keep
golf.
Taking,
and,
yeah, keep taking us to golf and yeah. We'll go far.
Simple. It's a simple premise.
We're actually due out in a couple of weeks again as well, so it'll be nice to run second to Dan again and match up to be there.
Mate, I've been visualising my suite. I haven't done anything about
that's
it.
That's what this event space is for Matt to visualise his suite.
He's going to put a golf simulator in, yeah.
And I'll just be in the zone 24/7.
If he puts a golf simulator in here, the next Anderson's Cooperoo podcast you do, I'll be working here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be changing stores from Cannon Hill too.
All right, boys. We're going to hit you both with this. We do something at the end of every episode called the Fast Five.
Yeah.
It's fast. Five very quick-fire questions which change the world. Mm. Okay? So we're going to go – I'm going to go Matt, Dan. Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. One food for the rest of your life.
Pasta.
Pasta?
Yeah. Carbonara.
Whoa, wow, okay.
Ooh,
wow. One movie for the rest of your life.
Oh, I'm not a big movie person, eh?
I don't really watch TV. You don't watch TV? Nah. What do? Lay floors,
yeah.
Look at brochures.
Think about my swing.
Happy Gilmore.
That's it.
Is it Happy Gilmore?
Sure.
There we go.
The Equalizer. Denzel Washington.
Good one. Yes, good call. Good one. Okay, beach or bush? What do you prefer?
Oh, beach, but I hate sand, eh?
I'm the same.
I'm the same.
I'm not a huge fan of sand.
So you hate the beach?
No, but I love the beach.
I love the beach.
She hates the sand.
I can't stand it. That can.
Nothing worse than sandy cags.
Yeah.
Oh. I love that rough feeling when you.
I know you do. I know you do. Michael doesn't shower for 4 days after.
Yeah, you know, just your hair. Like you can't even run your fingers through your hair. Yeah. It's all salty. Your lips are all chafed. Like,
get me away from.
Yeah, exactly. What do you got, beach or bush?
Beach.
Okay. Holiday destination?
Oh, anywhere with like a pool bar.
Okay, anywhere with a pool bar. Good
Great call.
Maldives.
Oh, good call. You surfer?
No, I've never been there.
Looks amazing though.
I'd love to go there.
Well, yeah, you keep selling Hybrid Shield, you'll be able to afford it.
Clever Choice sponsors.
And the last one, this separates the man from the boys.
Imagine the video.
Yes. This separates the men from the boys. Spray on or roll on deodorant?
Spray.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, I'm a roll on guy. Yeah. It's age.
Spray all day.
Senior citizens.
Spray all day.
Michael swings.
It's like we're the minority, isn't it?
Michael swings. He sprays occasionally, but I think he rolls a bit as well.
Yeah, I sort of roll. Yeah. But then, on the go, have a spray.
He hasn't had a shower in 3 days. So
well, he went to the gym. Yeah, he went to the beach yesterday. You went to the beach yesterday.
That's right. When you go on the beach regularly, you don't need to shower. You got to have that surfy salt, you know.
It was so funny. I had friends staying with us on the weekend, and they don't have a pool, but they're building a pool. They're from Sydney.
Does that have a swim-up bar?
It doesn't, so Matt won't be there.
Why don't people put a swim-up bar in their home pools?
That is a serious question.
Look, no, 100%, honestly, right? Like, really? Seriously, like if you're a pool builder out there and you start building pools with a swim up bar,
that's $1 billion business.
100%.
It's a billion-dollar pool. I think we've they're expensive enough without a swim up bar.
Oh, that would be awesome. Hey,
my mate said, he goes, I don't think I'll ever shower again once I get the pool. I was like, wow.
I still reckon that swim up bar at the Anderson's conference in Port Douglas was a highlight of conferences for me.
That was pretty good, wasn't it?
Celtics were playing in the finals on the telly right in front. He looked like a tomato by the end of the day.
I imagine he would have.
We didn't leave. We were there in the morning. And, we're in there, 8-9 hours?
You've got to reapply. Did you go to the bathroom at all? Did you get out of the pool to go to the bathroom?
Well, let's just say I did go to the bathroom.
But you didn't leave the pool.
The second question will leave that one alone, whether I got out of the pool or not.
Okay. Well, on that note.
Yes.
Yeah, let's get
gentlemen, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for... That was five.
I always do this, don't I?
Yeah, you do. There was five.
I've done that.
The last question we ask every week is spray on, roll on.
All right.
And roll on's losing big time.
It is.
Yeah, so sure.
I'm starting to feel
a young man thing must be this whole
thing. We need to get some older people.
Yeah.
I was actually just.
Young man.
Jim.
We even had someone older than us come on and pumps.
Yeah.
But not only that, Jim's 61 And he said, guys, our age, pointing to me. I go, mate, I'm 49. I'm not even 50. Our age, our Jim. Age. Rack off.
Jim Holston.
What does he know?
What does he know? He knows a lot.
Though. I said to him, I said, why am I on this podcast? You've just had Jim.
Yeah.
I can't speak anything like that.
No, that's okay. That's okay. You did well. Thank you. Thank you for having us in one of your homes. It's been a pleasure.
And we won't have
Danny, thanks for joining us.
We won't have to cut a lot out of your one, whereas we did have to cut a lot out of
Jim. A lot out of Jim.
Can we get the tapes for that one? I'd love to hear
it. I do have the raws.
Yeah, best of. Yeah, that comes out at the end of the year.
That can be in the uncut
version. Yeah.
That's the 4-hour road trip version. Yeah. Danny, thanks for your time, mate. I'm sure you've got to rack off back to your other shop.
Thanks for having me.
Make sure people are doing what they do. Greg?
I've got to go and get warmed up for me egg and spoon race this afternoon.
We're excited about that.
It's mate. Coming.
Are you feeling good?
Yeah. I wanted to do it yesterday, but heavy track. Upgraded.
Your egg
today.
Doesn't look happy, though.
No. He'll be happy by the end of it.
Yeah.
He'll be happy once it's over. I think he's sick of coming in and out of the fridge.
Are you going to eat it?
That's going to be some scrambled egg. I don't know.
It'll depend on our time. Jerry's got to perform. If he doesn't, he could end up in the car park. I don't know.
He'd be thrown over the roof.
He was on the piss on the weekend, Jerry, so we'll see how he
saw
goes.
That. He looked a bit tired.
I reckon I'm gonna try and break 20 for the straight sprint.
20. Okay.
And then if I can do under 40, I reckon, with the egg, I'll be happy.
Okay.
I did want to do it yesterday because I'm assuming that she did it on a dry track. I was going to say, well, I'm the new world record holder for the wet egg and spoon race.
But you still could. It's still damp.
Okay, well, get the stewards out.
That's it. It's been fun, boys. Michael?
Yeah, it's been great.
You're off to Melbourne?
I am.
We won't hold you any further?
Yep. Got to run.
Okay. Thank you, gentlemen. It won't be the last time. And we've taken your podcast virginity, and we were happy to do it.
No, thank you.
Thanks for being a part of the underlay, and thanks for being great supporters of Club of Choice.
Bye for now.
Bye.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to The Underlay. If you want to hear more, follow us on all good podcast platforms.